Well, good morning. Today is Thursday, January the 20th. The year is 2022. Happy New Year. We begin this year with the prayerful hope in our hearts for our spiritual increase in wisdom and understanding. We are praying for our unity to trust our faithful Father in directing our hearts to those relevant and relatable scriptures concerning His wisdom. In the closing weeks of 2021, we worked through the epistles of John, looking at our fellowship with God. We looked at loving the brethren and certainly keeping ourselves from the influences of those spirits of Antichrist. So now we continue to build upon truths already laid in place. And as faithful believers, we realize that God's wisdom is important. But have we understood the purpose? In Ephesians chapter 3, beginning in verse 7, in the New English translation, Apostle Paul explains the purposefulness of the wisdom of God. I became a servant of this gospel according to the gift of God's grace that was given to me by the exercise of His power. To me, less than the least of all the saints, this grace was given to proclaim to the Gentiles the unfathomable riches of Christ and to enlighten everyone about God's secret plan, a secret that has been hidden for ages in God who has created all things. And of course, the secret here, or as King James renders, the great mystery, it is Christ in you, the hope of glory. And in Ephesians 4, verses 1 through 6, and you can read it later, Paul instructs that with this great mystery in mind, we should walk according to our calling in Christ. Our desire should be to walk with humility, gentleness, patience, bearing one another in God's love, making every effort to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. He went on to say, there's one body, there's one Spirit, one hope of our calling, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is over all, and through all, and in all. Truths about the one body of Christ provide the greater context here to all we should desire to be and do as heirs of salvation. And back in chapter 3, we'll continue in verse 10. The purpose of this enlightenment is that through the church, through the one body of Christ, the multifaceted wisdom of God should now be disclosed to the rulers and the authorities in the heavenly realms. Now, these rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms are the same as the principalities and powers spoken of in Ephesians 6:12. They are the spiritual wickedness in high places. And in keeping with the ultimate context, the ultimate purpose of this enlightenment is that through the church, the one body of believers living as described in Ephesians 4, God's multifaceted, manifold, variegated wisdom would become known to these rulers and authorities in the heavenly realms. Now, the word multifaceted includes a great variety of color, like in a cloth, a tapestry, or a painting. Something multifaceted, it's going to manifest itself in a great variety of forms. And you think of us, we're all called. I mean, Romans 12 encourages us, you know, whatever your long suits are, get busy, develop them, use them, practice them, contribute them. So when we all, I know in the census world, people hire based on what this interviewee is going to bring to the table for that company. Well, think, of what the collective body of Christ brings to the table. Yes, we're each a part of that. You know, really appreciating this imagery leaves us speechless. The body of Christ standing spiritually firm as a tapestry, as a painting, it proclaims to the spiritual wickedness. Surprise! You know, that's the beauty of the truth in 1 Corinthians 2:8, because it says, which none of the princes of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. Well, we know the princes of this world did crucify the Lord of glory. So then they had to scramble. They had to come up with the task of deceiving and dividing this body of believers. Once they saw, oh my gosh. So they had to do some quick steps behind the curtains. It is interesting how the first phrase of Ephesians 6:12 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's easy to look now at this verse in light of the entire born-again body of Christ and how the devil has Christians fighting one another over silly stuff. Just silly stuff that has nothing to do with our sonship rights. Things that have nothing to do with our eternal life. And on the heels of Ephesians 6:12 comes the instruction and admonition that we take unto ourselves the whole armor of God that we may be able to withstand in the evil day. And this is kind of a we/ye section. Sure, it is true that each individual has to do their individual part, but it is addressed to all the believers that we would withstand together as one. A few years back, when teaching on the imagery of the armor of God, I shared how the Roman soldiers, which Paul was very used to seeing at that time because he was imprisoned, but it was how the Roman soldiers suited up their armor as individuals, but when they locked their shields together, the unit was completely covered front, sides, back, as they marched in unison as one. You know, there was a strategy of joining their shields together. And, you know, it's like in our age we hear about men who went to Afghanistan, men who served in the Vietnam War, maybe even World War II. They were like family. They grew deeply committed to each other. And they entered battle in block formation. Speaking of the Roman soldiers, you know, they marched in step. They moved forward as one unit. Now, each of them had to adorn every piece of armor that they were given. Everything that they were issued, they put on. But then they joined together in formations for a greater impact to be made known to the enemy. You know, what great imagery this is. And this was the purpose of God's manifold wisdom, that the believers deeply committed to God and one another would stand firm as one, each with their own personal spiritual armor, then being in unison with the spiritual family, their shields of faith interlocked to prevail. And they made known the manifold wisdom of God to the spiritual wickedness in high places. And then going on to verse 11, this, what we just worked, what we just have been talking about, all of this was according to the eternal purposes that He, God, accomplished in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and confident access to God because of Christ's faithfulness. And last year we spent a great deal of time on loving God and one another. But, you know, the scriptures say, don't be ignorant of Satan's devices, 2 Corinthians 2:11. You know, our desire should be to make known the manifold wisdom of God by showing, by displaying our collective spiritual armor. That's the big picture of how we are to take on darkness. March forward with the manifold wisdom of God covering us, protecting us, and leading the way. And over the course of the year, this year, we will be looking at the wisdom of God. But it's much more than a word study. You know, in Christ, we already are the wisdom of God. The scriptures tell us that. So let's read the manual. Let's read the scriptures and see how this feature is designed to work. Anytime we speak of God's wisdom, where better to set the tone than in the book of Proverbs? It is a book written, given by inspiration of God, of course, but written by Solomon, who was King David and Bathsheba's son. He was raised in the scriptures, and his father's many exhortations to love and serve God brought Solomon into this manner of life. So much so that when his time came to be king in place of his father David, his one petition to God was for wisdom that would be relatable and relevant as he governed and ruled among God's people. And in 1 Kings chapter 3, I want to read that record. This will be in the King James. In Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon in a dream by night, and God said, "Ask what I shall give thee." And Solomon said, "Thou hast showed unto thy servant David my father great mercy, according as he walked before thee in truth and in righteousness and in uprightness of heart with thee. And thou hast kept for him this great kindness, that thou hast given him a son to sit on his throne, as it is this day. And now, O Lord my God, thou hast made thy servant king instead of David my father. And I am but a little child. I know not how to go out or come in." Now he knew the word. He had been taught in the scriptures. But we're talking about wisdom that is relevant and relatable in our everyday lives. Verse 8, "And thy servant is in the midst of thy people which thou hast chosen, a great people that cannot be numbered nor counted for multitude. Give, therefore, thy servant an understanding heart to judge thy people, that I may discern between good and bad. For who is able to judge this thy so great a people?" And then, in the next verse, we see how God exceeded the fulfillment of such an earnest and humble request. "And the speech pleased the Lord that Solomon had asked this thing. And God said unto him, Because thou hast asked this thing, and hast not asked for thyself long life, neither hast asked riches for thyself, nor hast asked the life of thine enemies, but hast asked for thyself understanding to discern judgment. Because thou hast asked this thing," verse 12, "Behold, I have done according to thy words. Lo, I have given thee a wise and understanding heart, so that there was none like thee before thee, neither after thee shall any arise like unto thee." And that's, of course, within Solomon's lifetime, as for kings. In 1 Kings 4:29 through 34, it details the wisdom God gave Solomon. "And God gave Solomon wisdom and understanding exceeding much, and largeness of heart, even as the sand that is on the seashore. Woo. And Solomon's wisdom excelled the wisdom of all the children of the East country and all the wisdom of Egypt. Woo. For he was wiser than all men, and his fame went in all nations round about. And he spake about 3,000 proverbs, and his songs were 1,005. He spake of trees, from the cedar tree that is in Lebanon, even unto the high sap that springeth out of the wall. He spake also of beast, and of fowl, and of creeping things, and of fishes. And there came of all people to hear the wisdom of Solomon, from all kings of the earth, which had heard of his wisdom. And back in chapter 3, picking up at verse 13, we'll see what else God gave Solomon. And I have also given thee that which thou hast not asked, both riches and honor, so that there shall not be any among the kings like unto thee all thy days. You know, God answered Solomon's request and more, much, much more. It is recorded that Solomon spoke 3,000 proverbs. Now, a proverb is a timeless truth in the form of a simple illustration that exposes a fundamental reality of life. It is a timeless truth in the form of a simple illustration that exposes a fundamental reality of life. Proverbs are divine guidelines and wise observations. As simple comparisons, their outcome are not guaranteed for every situation, because life isn't a simple comparison. Life is more complicated than one comparison or one parallel. But Proverbs, the great thing about them is they're practical. They're easy to remember, and they apply to life. So these wise sayings, hidden in our hearts, which we're encouraged to do, they skillfully navigate us through the mundane functions of everyday life. They're little buoys that keep us behaving properly, keep us thinking correctly. They give the general direction for our thoughts and our heart, and they set us up for success. You know, everyday situations, mundane, things we do day in and day out, from hopping out of bed in the morning. You know, Proverbs tells us how to do that. What are we thinking when we're hopping out of bed? What are we doing? Throughout our daily schedules, all the way to hopping back in bed at night, Proverbs offers us building materials for the structure of the repeated moments in our lives. And in turn, that then becomes our foundation for responding to those peculiar, more complicated, less mundane moments of life. The book of Proverbs, it will put in contrast wisdom and folly, the righteous and the wicked, humility and pride, work and laziness, wealth and poverty, love and lust, masters and servants, life and death. So many things. But Proverbs brings to us the imagery for developing wise relationships with others. You know, what to do, what to avoid, how to be the best for another person, which will always return the best for us. Very practical, easy to remember, and applicable to the simple moments in life. And most foundational to those complex moments when we can be lost as to where to start in our evaluations and considerations of what to do next. So Proverbs 1 verse 1, the Proverbs of Solomon, the son of David, king of Israel, to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding. You know, wisdom has versatile meanings. You have to depend upon the context of each and every verse, each and every chapter, to determine, to really nail down what wisdom is referring to in that particular verse, because it can include our skill in war, our wisdom in administration, just the plain shrewdness, like being wise as serpents, our good judgment in religion and religious and ethical affairs, and wisdom to know the difference. Wisdom includes dexterity. It includes conceptual thinking. You know, really being able to handle complex ideas. Mm-hmm. You know, instruction is equally versatile in meaning, because it says to know wisdom and instruction. Because instruction can refer to discipline, correction, reproof, warning, restraint, doctrine, even rebuke. But, you know, you think in Timothy, doesn't it tell us that the word is for doctrine? It's for reproof. It's for instruction in righteousness. You know, it's for correction. It's for all those things to keep us in the truth. To know wisdom and instruction, we observe, we care, we recognize, we acquaint ourselves, we consider, we regard it with respect. All those things are involved in knowing wisdom and instruction. To perceive the words of understanding, we give attention and heed to the words in order to understand what to understand the sayings and their weighty meanings. So the first thing is to know. Then verse 3, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, and judgment, and equity. So after we observe, consider, recognize, acknowledge, next we receive the instruction of wisdom. And that means we take it, we fetch it. We bring it into ourselves. We seize it. We acquire it. I like to think of it as, you know, you marry it and you become one with wisdom. You become one with understanding. Verse 4, to give subtlety to the simple, to the young man knowledge and discretion. To give is in the sense of delivering or yielding. Recompensing. And subtlety is shrewdness. We want to give this shrewdness to the simple, to those who are unskilled, those who are easily persuaded or enticed. You know, they're not on that firm foundation just yet. And it's in Matthew 10:16 where we're instructed, you know, be wise as serpents, but yet in your heart be harmless as doves. So, hopefully, God's purpose for his manifold wisdom is clearer as this teaching has moved forward. You know, we want to consider these wise sayings. We want to pursue their understanding. And we certainly want to yield the fruit in our speech and our manner of life. But all in all, keeping it in our sight, the big picture, the ultimate context, that we are the one body of Christ. We want to stand united with our brothers and sisters to make known the variegated wisdom of God to the principalities and power from on high. And I would like to just add that I know in this day and time, we're linked together so much by the different wireless medias and, you know, text. We've got phone calls, of course, but emails, social media, other ways. But the Spirit of God that we share we can always be as one. We are one body. And that geographical distance, we cannot let that deter our minds that we have no one, that we're out here all alone. We're out here somewhere by ourselves. There's no fellowships close by. We can endeavor to bring to our minds that we are still the one body of Christ. And then we do our part to stay connected. We do our part to fellowship with one another. So I want to close with Proverbs 3:13 because it says, happy is the man, or blessed is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. So you're blessed because Christ is the wisdom of God, and Christ is in you. So until next week, love and blessings.